Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey.
Hey, hey, hey,
hey. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Suddenly chills from the fear of asking Sal a question that you maybe exactly asked him yesterday. And I didn't know that. So I don't want to be, you know, redundant here. Right? I mean, you probably talked injuries.
Yeah. Yeah.
Matchup a little bit. A
little bit. Like 3 minutes at the end matchup.
I had one question. So my last chat with Sal and you goes back to Monday. And it's memorable to me what Sal said at one point in that conversation, and we had already gotten a couple of calls that day to say mostly the same thing, was like praise for the defense.
Mm-hmm.
In a game the Bills won 48-42. Oliver and, you know, up front, pass pressure, that kind of thing. Sal, how would you put it? Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. Let's do this properly. How would you describe what the Bills were in this game in the secondary? We know they had injuries that were seemingly pretty costly. They also gave up tons of stats and points. But would your, if I'm putting this correctly, would your wanting to give the defense credit extend to the DBs, or maybe not quite?
Oh, yeah, for sure. In fact, it's mostly the DBs, to be quite honest with you. I mean, I should say mostly. Well, front seven did a good job on against the run, but this is it's hard to watch. You sound like a crazy person when you come on the radio and you say, hey, they gave up 42 points. I like the way the defense played, right? I mean, like, I get it. I totally understand that, right? But for me, what it came down to was they had a philosophy of, we have three backups in the secondary. Three starters are out. Three out of four, three out of five, I guess you'd look at Taron Johnson. Two starting safeties, all right? So, I mean, now you're really up against it on the back end. And I think the philosophy was, treat them like game managers. Don't lose the game for us. Don't get beat over the top. Don't give up a big play. Live to fight another down. Keep everything in front of you. Come up and make tackles. Were they perfect? No. They did get beat over the top one play. It actually didn't count. He dropped it. There was a holding call anyway. The only other big play was actually a mid-range pass, a little bit over Terrell Bernard's hands.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he takes it the rest of the way. Other than that, they didn't have any big plays. The Bills had, I mean, I think I looked, I have to go back and look. There was a 31-yarder mixed in there, but pretty much everything was like 24 yards or less, I think, for the Lions. So I would extend it to the DBs as far as this, Mike. I think they did their job. I don't think they were excellent. They didn't like, oh my God, they blew me away. I think they did exactly what they were told to do in this game, and that's exactly how you're supposed to play it, I think, when you have the situation they have, especially when you're up two or three scores, which is why they were told to play that way most of the game.
That's a nice luxury. You know, sort of like the inverse of the Ram game, where you were chasing a little bit there and still ended up giving up big numbers, but didn't have the same advantage in that way. Okay. So this Deion Dawkins story today, Sal, is tough. How much do you know? And I think Dawkins spoke, right?
Yeah, so when we arrived at One Bills Drive today, that's when a lot of us first heard about it and didn't know. And we were told that Deion was going to be excused for personal reasons. We knew what was going on, but it was more about like how, you know, the Bills and Deion and, you know, everything that went into this would be kind of handled and brought to light and, you know, what he was going to say. We didn't know if he'd be coming back. He was excused from practice at that time, guys. We had no idea if anybody was hurt or, God forbid, you know, passed away. And that was obviously the case that we found out a little bit later, where the pilot died in this tragic plane crash. We didn't know if the plane hit the house. Apparently it didn't. Obviously it was in the backyard or nearby property of his, because he has a lot of property there, where the house is. He came back to practice. He was listed as a non-participant. He was excused for personal reasons. He did speak to reporters, and basically was very, very, he was emotional talking about the pilot and the family and, you know, hoping that the family is okay. And obviously it's tragic and, you know, he's very thankful that everybody, his house is okay. But yeah, very reflective on it. And it is, it's a really sad story, obviously. And unfortunately someone did pass away. It was the lone pilot and there was one person in the aircraft that was the pilot. And I, in the meantime, I was in contact with WBEN trying to find out what they knew from the news side. And then we have the Bills side of it with Deion, obviously. But now it looks like, you know, the pieces have all come together and Deion was back with the team and he did speak.
Did he talk about, like, was he, I'm sorry, I haven't had a chance to watch and listen to his comments since he returned and addressed this situation, Sal. So forgive me if this is a question I should know the answer to. What, was he home when it happened? Like, what did he,
no.
did, okay, so.
He had showed up to the facility and
then got sent home. Right. Okay. Or when
got sent home. So, yeah. So obviously, you know, I mean, it, for anybody, you know, that would be obviously a really scary situation.
Sure.
You know, that your family is home and yeah. That's happening. And, but I think, you know, once that everything, you know, he assessed the situation and everybody knew what happened and, you know, then he comes back to the facility. So, you know, Deion was back today and he was the only player on the team who was a non-participant, but it was not injury related, obviously.
All right, so two injuries. Bail Inspector is a different status or has a different status than yesterday?
Yeah, he's the only one, other than Deion, obviously. He went from not being on the injury report yesterday to being limited today with a calf injury. That is the same thing that put him on IR, by the way, a while back. So we'll have to find out tomorrow from Sean McDermott when he joins the Extra Point Show. Did he get hurt in practice? Is that going to keep him out of the game? Or is this something that maybe they just through the walkthrough, they didn't, you know, necessarily it didn't pop up. They didn't know. And then today was more of a full practice. So they, you know, treated it a little bit. And there's always those possibilities. So we'll find out. But otherwise, everything stayed the same today. Rasul Douglas, Damar Hamlin, Matt Milano, Taylor Rapp, Curtis Samuel, and Dorian Williams all limited for a second straight day.
But I did not see anyone in non-contact jerseys, or did I miss something?
You did not miss anything from what I saw when I was out there.
Right.
And but I will tell you, the non-contact is green
right,
this week.
The offense is wearing red, right?
That's right, yes. Right. So the offense, so it's a little different to look for.
The
but
whole
you're
offense
right.
Was in non-contact jerseys, you idiot.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The quarterbacks and the specialists were wearing green. That's the non-contact this week. And no, I did not see anybody else in a non-contact jersey. And it is noteworthy to me that Josh Allen, after going to the x-ray room after the game and Sean McDermott confirming he had tests on Monday when he talked to us, Josh is not on the injury report at all. Like he's not even listed, even as a full participant. And, you know, remember, he was on the injury report for many, many weeks.
With the
what,
hand.
Six, seven, 8 weeks
yeah.
after with the hand injury after week one.
Sounds like the players are starting to get questions about the playoffs. Or even before that, you know, rest and all that conversation that we're well into, but we're sort of headed there again where the Bills are. How are the players dealing with these questions? Because I doubt they really want to be talking about, let alone talking about the postseason yet.
I haven't particularly asked anybody about the playoffs, but I know that, you know, when it comes up as far as, you know, rest and stuff like that and here or there. And I can't think of any specific examples. There's nothing really right now from the team. The team is full steam ahead. They're trying to win football games. They still have a look at the one seed. So they're going to play until that you know, presumably they're going to keep playing until that is out of their reach. So, you know, they're really, it's really week to week, trying to go 1-0 this week, right? That's the phrase. We're trying to go 1-0 this week. So yeah, I think, you know, if and when they've been asked about that, Mike, it's been mostly, well, you know, there's still time to play here and we're still playing and we have a football game against the New England Patriots and that's what's in our mind. And you wouldn't expect anything else from a Sean McDermott coach team to say things like that.
Right. I just heard Alan speaking on it a little bit. Like, when I was listening, I was thinking to myself, get ready. You know, it's just starting, right? I mean, we're not to the playoffs yet. We are all possibly, even probably, almost to the phase of the season, though, where we're going to be talking, just like we are on WGR, about the value of rest, you know, versus the risk and all that stuff. Like, we're getting pretty close to that point. Could be by next week.
It could be. And I think once they can't get the one seed, if that happens here in the next week or two, then you have those conversations because those have come up before. And Sean McDermott's had to have those questions. And they've been in that position before. Remember week 18 at home against Miami 1 year, there was really nothing to play for. And Josh played a whole half, right? And then and wasn't that, you know, Isaiah McKenzie went off in that game. Remember, I think Josh played a half in that game, if I remember right. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that doesn't mean they would handle it the same way. I always think about McDermott saying that every team is different. Every circumstance is different. Some teams you might need that. Some teams you might not. This is a veteran group now, pretty much. There are some younger players, but especially the quarterback. He's been here. He's been through this a while. So, you know, maybe there's some young guys you do want to get, you know, some extra reps in at the end of the year. So, to me, it's a tough needle to thread sometimes.
Yeah.
Because you also have the rest versus rust factor, right? And how long you want to, you know, lay off everybody before they actually play in a game. So, I think those questions are coming, but I don't think they're coming until they really kind of know their fate, so to speak. And right now, that's still up in the air.
Yeah, I wonder if McDermott will even, once we get there, I mean, I guess it sounds like I am rushing the conversation because I'm engaging in it here and furthering it along here. But
can do that, Bulldog.
Right. When we get there, if he'll talk, like if last year had any impact on his thinking, right? Because of the injuries in week 18, of course, you had to lean into those games. So week 18, they needed to win the division and get the two. And then, of course, the next game was a playoff game. But the injuries, you know, like I wonder if that could spook a coach, or if like the football people are just sort of, it's football, it happens, you know, go out there, strap it up. But I'm just curious because I know, like for me, even weeks ago, thinking about the two versus the three, for example, like I don't know how hard I want to. I've always sort of gone after it, right? In my head, I could defend going after it. It matters. You don't know what's going to happen week to week. And if you're the two, you could still.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
He'll play at home in the title game, so go for it. I just wonder if their recent experience with injuries late in the year could change and you know how McDermott wants to handle that.
No doubt, no doubt. And listen, I have thought about like what is even better, right? Which is it better to be the one and have the week off and you know have your two games at home? I think that is ideally it is, right? I know that. But, you know, you also look, and this is from a fan perspective now, right, and a media perspective, which is there might be a better opportunity at the two based on who's going to be in those seeds mm-hmm. versus who's going to be in the, you know, who has to go and play the one seed at some point, like who's number four or five, which would go to number one if everything holds out.
Yep.
That being said, if you get to week 18 and you know exactly what's happening, there's some benefit in that too because you can start to rest guys, no doubt about that. So I agree. It's a really good discussion. I'm not really sure. I will tell you this though, the messaging has been consistent, guys. That their goal is the one seed. I mean, it's a goal coming into the year. Josh Allen said it after they won the AFC East. He said we still want the one seed. We're going to play for it. I don't think that goal has changed, and Saturday could determine a little bit more about that, right? If the Kansas City Chiefs happen to fall to the Houston Texans, suddenly it's on. Like you're playing now Sunday to pull within one game with two to play, and Kansas City's got to play Pittsburgh right. with a somewhat hobbled, you know, Patrick Mahomes, and they have to play Denver, who has a really good pass rush and almost beat them one time. And I think that gets you to, we're going to keep playing for this thing and pedal to the metal. Now, if Kansas City wins on Saturday, I don't think it changes anything about Sunday.
Right.
But the question is, does it change anything the following week? Because you'll already know when they play again right. against the Steelers on Christmas, obviously.
There is what percent chance that 7 seed is playing tonight? 95%?
I mean,
90%? Denver and the Chargers. How do you think of those teams as potential playoff opponents? Like, are they dangerous to you? Something about their style? Because, you know, if it is 7 Denver or L.A. at 2 Buffalo, the Bills are probably, what, at least a 6-point favorite in that game, I would think, maybe?
Yeah, I've thought about this. It's a fascinating. It's really, for me, just in my brain, fascinating, right? Because it's going to be Denver, L.A., and then the outside chance of Indy, Miami, Cincinnati. They're still alive. So if I had to rank them, I think like who would be the preferred choice for me for the Bills matchup wise, I'd put the Colts first. I don't think they'll get it, but I'd put the Colts first. I think I would put the Chargers next, but I would tell you that I think Sean McDermott against a rookie quarterback in Bo Nix, like that's something that I think that, you know, would be okay. You feel comfortable about. But man, Sean Payton coaching him, he's looked good. They take shots down the field. They can be explosive. All it takes is a couple plays over the top of your head mm-hmm. because they've done that this year. So I think Chargers coming from L.A. to Buffalo in the cold, Herbert's been a little bit banged up. They don't have this explosive offense. They can play some good defense, but you know, look what Baker did to them and the Bucks last week. So I think the Chargers would be number two there. I would put Denver, I think, number three. And then I don't really want any part of Miami or Cincinnati.
Same here, man. Same here. Like, they're 2% yeah. chance or whatever for Cincinnati to get in. I'm not sure what Miami's chances are. But those two teams, I feel like I'm more worried about them than the teams that are in the spots right now.
And Joe DiBiase kind of disagreed with me today when he had initially said it, and then I disagreed with him, I should say. Like, he's like, oh, yeah, Miami, well, they always beat them. I'm like, yeah, but that's a division game. They almost beat the Bills in the snow in 2022, and then they almost beat them in the playoffs that same year, I believe it was. And you know, it's just,
year.
It was
and
close,
this year,
right?
It was a 61-yard field goal to beat them this
That's right. That's right.
So,
I mean, like, I don't know. I'd rather not see that, right? I think the other ones. But you're right, Mike. I think that tonight is probably the teams that you're seeing, that one of them is going to be the team that comes out into the 7th seed, and that's the team that comes to Buffalo. And I still think there's a lot of jockeying going on for 3, 4, and 5, because Baltimore and Pittsburgh, that is not set for who's going to mm-hmm. win that division, and they play each other. And then you have Houston sitting there. Now, let's just say Pittsburgh loses this weekend to Baltimore. If Baltimore beats Pittsburgh this weekend because they play on Saturday, I mean, Houston is sitting there, and granted, they play before that, but what if they were to win? Suddenly, Houston has a look at the three, right? I mean, and yep. so it's very interesting how this could shake out.
I don't even know if I'd want it.
Yeah, everybody would be 10-5 if that happened. Baltimore would be tied with Pittsburgh, and then Houston, if they beat KC, would also be at 10-5.
Yep. Aren't the Bills, though, the team you would love to avoid? A team like, I mean, they've beaten the Bills. I don't know. Sal, thanks for referencing that Miami game in 2020, the season finale, one of the best games to look back on, 56-26. Just like, what a beatdown. Miami was 10-5, needed the game for playoff chances, and that happens against a team that had nothing to play for. By the way, Mac Hollins 1-for-3 in a lost fumble for the Dolphins in that game. That's right. That's what I was just leading up to that. All that was just leading up to that. Okay. So Mahomes here playing for the Chiefs on Saturday. Can we be that surprised?
I'm not at all. I said all week, I'll believe he's not playing when he's not playing.
Yeah.
This happens every time. He looks like, oh, he's really hurt. I don't know. He got to be worried. You're going to have to monitor that. Oh, no. Fine.
Gumby.
It's so annoying. It's so annoying.
I agree. And you know what? They'll run the ball. And he'll make a couple of plays, even a couple scrambles probably, and we're going to hear all about it on national television because look at this guy, and he's got this injury, and he's incredible, and he is great. We all know that, but that's what's going to happen, and then they'll wind up beating the Texans. I'll say it here because I think that's just what's going to happen because that's what does happen. And, I texted John Harris today, our buddy, the sideline reporter. You guys know John. You've had him on. The sideline reporter for the Texans. And I just about that game. And he said, well, we ain't going there to go through the motions. That's for sure. So there you go. I think that they want to play this game. The Texans, you just said, Mike, a little while ago, like, you know, the Texans kind of have their spot a little bit wrapped up here if they want the number four. But, Houston would love to win this game. They'd love to go make a statement in Kansas City. There's no doubt about that.
So asking Bills players who they'd rather see in the playoffs between any of these teams is not a question Sal Capaccio put to them out at the stadium today. How dare anybody ask them that? Very good.
Not going to happen.
Sal, thank you.
All right, guys. You too. Thanks a lot.
That's our Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. His appearances here are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
You know, I've probably said it every time. Everybody sort of says the same kind of thing. Is it the players really not wanting to play hard or something? Like, I don't think it works like that. The whole thing about the motivation is organizationally. Coaching decisions on taking guys out. I think the Texans, like, if this were us, okay, fine. Of course you're going to tell me how important it is. And of course players, when they suit up, are not going to go lightly. I don't mean that. But I would want to mess around here in this game a little bit. Can I get to the 3 seed at best? Yes. I don't think I care that much about the difference between 3 and 4. What's the difference between Kansas City and Buffalo this year? I think I'd rather play the Chiefs. So here I am playing the Chiefs in their stadium where I'd maybe be headed back. I'm not trying to lose, but coaching-wise, play calling, you know, scheme stuff, I would want to try to throw curveballs all day. And that, you know, different things, experiment or try to set your opponent up for a future meeting, all that kind of thing. You know, you can say whatever, 3D chess or whatever you might want to say about that. But I don't think you really want to go or have to go so straight up in this matchup in the name of running down the 3 seed. Because really, again, what is the difference between the 3 and the 4? You're not even getting necessarily a better draw. You're playing at home once and once only.
Right.
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, sure, mayhem could ensue. And right. Like both the 1 and 2 could lose and you're the last, you know, big, you know, the highest seed left standing. But like, I mean, that
the Rams
just seems not super likely, but it could happen.
Right. When the Rams won.
Yeah.
The 4, they got
home. Yeah. That way. Right. So, I mean, I'm kind of the same. Even I would say more so. What I'm doing in the game versus who's doing it, right? Like, I don't think with 3 games to go, there's a conversation to be had, but I don't think I'm shutting people down because I'm comfortable with my seating. But I think I would want to mess around with the game plan, like you're saying. Like, let's do some different stuff and see if we can't, set up stuff for if we meet again, like I'm going to give you a look and you're going to think it's this thing, but it's not. It's, you know, stuff like that. I think I would definitely want to get into my bag pretty deeply on that front. But playing guys, like it, to me, it's like it's almost too early to start resting, I would say. Like that's where I think I'm a football player, I'm going to play football, would sort of carry the day. Doesn't have to be right, but that's just how I think I would do it. Because, I mean, you could get hurt and get burned. But, again, it's just there's a lot left. And it just you're not going to rest guys for 3 weeks, right? Like, even though they're all set, perhaps, and maybe they feel that way, they're not resting Stroud until the playoffs, right? So Stroud's playing –
but Mixon, you're for playing. One.
Yeah, well, maybe that's a good – that like, might work.
Huge workload this year. Injured last week against the Dolphins. Might have gone back in, but doesn't sound like it's super serious. That's one where – but, you know, do you leave that up to the player? These things can get kind of back and forth. But if I'm the Texans, that's a guy – I don't need to be running him into the ground here. Mm-hmm. Right? He's 217 carries already, I'm seeing. 32 more catches. He's just been on the field constantly for them. 803-0550, talking about the one seed. How important is it right now to you that the Bills get it? It doesn't seem likely, but it's still possible. That's what a lot of what we've been talking about today and all the time lately is these sort of different, sometimes warring, motivating factors. Mike Schoeb and the Bulldog here. Lines are open. This is WGR.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.